In the fifth aliyah of Parsha Shmos, we read about Moshe's hesitation or outright refusal to take on the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him. And the Pasuk tells us that he doesn't think the Jews will believe him. V'hein lo yaminu li, v'lo yishmu'u b'koli. And that suspicion of the Jewish people is a form of Lashon Hara, and he pays a price. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, HaChosher B'ksherim Loke B'gufo, and we find that indeed that's what happens here, that he gets a dose of Tzaras, as will happen to Miriam later on for her Lashon Hara about Moshe. Moshe is here portraying the Jews in an unfair light, and that is a form of Lashon Hara, and therefore he also has Tzaras on his arm. And we find that he's told to take the mata that he has in his hand and throw it to the ground, and it turns into a snake, and he is scared of it and turns away from it. And the Ramban raises the question of why it is that these tests have to actually be performed in front of Moshe. Moshe presumably believes in them. He doesn't need them for himself. They're there for the sake of Paro. So the Ramban comments that this is also because of his Lashon Hara, as Rashi indicates, that the snake is there to be merames to his Lashon Hara, that Lashon Hara is the avera of the snake, and the fear that he has from the snake is meant to be a punishment for his Lashon Hara, and he jumps away even though he knows that it's not actually going to hurt him. That's a normal instinctive reaction people have when something comes and is scary. They're going to react even if they know intellectually that it's not something that's actually going to hurt them, and that's also a form of punishment. That's also a form of consequence. In Pasuk Ches, there's a language here that V'haya im lo yaminu lecha v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'os harishon v'heminu l'kol ha'os ha'achron. If they won't listen to the first os, they'll listen to the last one. And then the next pasuk says, V'haya im lo yaminu gam l'shnei ha'osos ha'elu v'lo yishmu l'kol ha'acha v'lakachta mimei hayor v'shafachta hayabasha v'hayu hayamim asher tikach min hayor v'hayu ladam b'yabashas. So you see a linguistic point here that's pointed out by the Tosfos Yontif and his commentary to Demai and Perek Zayin and others, that you see that Achron doesn't mean last, because in Pasuk Ches we refer to the second Os as the Os HaAchron, and then there's something that comes after that. There is Makas Dam. So apparently Achron only means the most recent, but doesn't necessarily mean last. And some point out that that's significant because the Pasuk in Chagai in Perek Beis has the language of Gadol Yeh Kavod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. And that led some to believe that the second Beis HaMikdash would be the final Beis HaMikdash. There wouldn't be one after that because it's referred to as the Bayis HaAchron. So we could respond to that, that here we see that the Torah indicates that Achron doesn't mean final, it only means most recent, but there can be a one after that. It doesn't actually mean last. So there are some who point out that that's one way to read the Pasuk in Parshas Bo in Perek Yud Beis, V'haya hadam lochem l'os al habatim, that the dam will be a sign on the batim, that here the dam, Makas dam, is an indication that there's going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be a proof that when we're talking about the batim, that the reference to the Bayis HaAchron is not actually the final Bayis, it's only the most recent one at that time, but there still can be something after Achron. We see that from the fact that dam can come after the osios, that shows us that there can be a third Beis HaMikdash as well. Included in Moshe's refusal, we find indications of his great anivus, of his modesty, and also the phrase here, lo ish devarim anochi, I am not a man of words, which we understand to mean both that he doesn't feel like he is a speaker, but also that he had a physical impediment that made it hard for him to speak in a clear fashion. And the Medrash tells us about an incident that happened that caused him to have this effect. And the Ramban comments over here that he didn't daven for it to be healed because he didn't want it to be healed, because he didn't want to have the shlichus, and that was also connected to his anivus. The Ran in his Drashos comments on the question of why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want specifically a Shaliach who had this condition, and he suggests that the interest here is that if Moshe had indeed been a wonderful orator and a tremendous speaker, so he would have had an easier time winning people over, but there always could have been a question after the fact that maybe the fact that the Jews had agreed to go along with him, or maybe Paro would have had listened to him, all of that could have been attributed to the fact that he had the silver tongue, that he had the gift of gab, and maybe it wouldn't have necessarily been understood that this was the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there could have been a claim afterwards that they were bamboozled. So the fact that Moshe was not such a wonderful speaker, so that gave credence to the fact that what he had to say actually indeed was the word of God and wasn't simply his skills of persuasion. Moshe asks, Shlachna biad tishlach, send someone else, send somebody who's more appropriate for this. And this is also a reference to Aaron, who his older brother, who he understands would be a better choice. And Hashem gets very mad at this. Vayicharaf Hashem b'Moshe, and he tells him that, don't worry, don't feel like you have to turn this over to Aaron, who's your older brother, but rather Aaron will come and he will be very happy to see you in this position. Hinehu yotzei l'krasecha v'racha v'samach b'libo. He'll be happy to see what you're doing here. And the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuflam B'Tesimon Aleph says that in this chus, which we are already attributing to Aaron, which we're already confident that he's going to have, we can understand why he has this chus of the choshen mishpat that he wears on his heart. And some explain that this is a reference to the idea that if one purifies his midos inside, so then it's symbolized by beautiful things on the outside. So the notion that he gets to wear this choshen on his heart reflects the purity of the heart. There's also a discussion that Torah Tumim and others have to explain how this is midah keneged midah. One could suggest that the idea that he's able to be so devoid of jealousy is a reflection of the fact that he is able to get rid of any kind of negios, of any kind of personal biases or interests, and understand that if Moshe is the right man for the job, then he should be happy about that. And the choshen mishpat is associated with judgment, and a judge has to be able to be pure of any interests and any conflicts, and therefore this midah of pure judgment is appropriate to be associated with Aaron, because he is indeed able to separate himself from any personal interests. There is an additional perspective that Rav Chaim Yaakov Oldwicht had in his sichos regarding all of this aliyah, where he talks about the fact that Chazal have an understanding that Moshe's refusal here, which happened over the course of 7 days, is connected to two other episodes in his life, the Shiva Simei Miluim, where he served in the role of a Kohen, but it was only temporary. He couldn't continue in that role, and that Aaron would indeed be the permanent Kohen, and also a 7-day process in which he begged to be allowed to enter the land of Israel and was denied and was told he ultimately would not be allowed to go into the land. And the association of all of these things, Rav Goldwicht explained that when Moshe was saying, Lo ish dvarim anochi, and he's explaining why he's not appropriate for this, and indeed there is some hesitation, reflects the fact that he was purely spiritual, and the need to be able to bring together the physical world and the spiritual world was a great challenge for him. And this is something that a Kohen needs to be able to do. And that's also the message of Eretz Yisrael, to be able to harmonize the spiritual and the physical. So the fact that he was reluctant to take this on and was indeed inhibited from taking this on, so it makes sense that this plays out in him not being able to serve as the Kohen ultimately, and also not being able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Not that either of those things necessarily in this sense are a punishment for his refusal at this stage, but that they are a consequence, that they reflect the same issue that was keeping him from taking on this task. this fear that he couldn't necessarily impact on the physical world this way because of his inability to bring together the spiritual and the physical also had the consequence of impacting his ability to serve in the kahuna and also to serve as the leader of the Jewish people at that stage when they would enter into the land. And meanwhile, Aaron, who was in more of a position to harmonize these traits, so he was at least able to be the Kohen. And Rav Goldwicht went on to suggest that that's also how to understand this phrase of Vinehu Yotze Lekosecha Baracha Besamach Belibo, that this simcha that he felt is connected to his role as the Kohen. And he explained that this is also connected to the idea of Ezehu Asher HaSameach Bechelko, that when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that a person who is wealthy is somebody who is Sameach Bechelko, this is a theme that Rav Goldwich would discuss often, so we normally translate that to mean that somebody is satisfied with his lot, he is happy with his portion. But Goldwich explained differently that based on the pasuk that the Mishnah uses as a proof, that the idea of Sameach Bechelko means that you are able to be happy with your own chelek, that it is the chelek that you have acquired through an actual kinyan, that you have done something to make it yours. And the fact that Aaron had this midah of shalom and chesed is what made him roi for the kahuna, but the act of kinyan that he made on this was his expression of that through the simcha that he felt when he saw this position that his brother was occupying. So the fact that he was able to live the simcha, that was his actual kinyan, and that was how he made that midah his own, and through that, he earned the kahuna, so to speak. So when Chazal tell us that in the zchus of this expression, he wore the choshen mishpat, that was this idea that he earned that role, he became the Kohen because he expressed that midah, and he indeed was able to harmonize these attributes and to step into that role through his own merit.